Actually, I kind of volunteered. I said, yeah, I'll lead a meeting if you want me to lead a meeting. And it was kind of weird because I really didn't want to do anything on service or traditions, but that's all she had left. So that's what I ended up with. And it wasn't anything that I really didn't want to do that. And then it was supposed to be at noon. And then I didn't think I was going to do it at all because she didn't call me back. And then it was going to be noon on Saturday, and now it's midnight, Saturday night. And I was like, okay, so I know nobody will be here. So, you know, but anyway, that's all right, right? And, but that's okay. And I decided this is going to be a fun thing. I'm cool with that. But, you know, the reality is usually when I share in a meeting, I go through my book and I highlight it. You know, I have a basic, I have my basic text, which got in the rain and all the waters, all the colors ran. And, you know, I have my How It Works and Why, and I write all kinds of different colors in it. And it's got highlighted in orange and yellow, and I pencil do it. I do it all different kinds of things. And I was looking at it today and yesterday, and I don't know what it was. In my head, I just couldn't figure out what I could do for it. And it wasn't that I don't believe in unity and service. Because I do. Service is why I'm clean today. Since I got clean, that's all I've done. I mean, I got clean in August 28th of 1983. And, when I was assigned a sponsor, because that's what happened to me when I was in a treatment center. The man that I was there with, he said, this lady is going to be your sponsor. She was the chairperson of the literature committee, and I just did whatever she did. And when she was no longer the chairperson of the literature committee, I helped her every month and every week. And when she was done, I did that. And whenever they also went around and they did H&I commitments, and I did H&I commitments. I went around to all kinds of places, youth facilities, and took meetings into youth facilities because I was 17 when I got clean. And so I went into PIDC. I went to a lot of young places and took meetings and stuff because that's what I was told to do in order to stay clean, was to do service. And that's what kept me clean. It kept me connected to Narcotics Anonymous. And when I was looking through here, because, you know, and I was thinking about looking through the book and looking for definitions of what unity was. And it says, unity is the spirit that joins thousands of members around the world in a spiritual fellowship that has the power to change lives. And, you know, a lot of times I think, especially nowadays, about, you know, united we stand, you know. And I think about that, too, with Narcotics Anonymous. You know, today, you know, as a fellowship, we have to be together in order to stay clean. You know, as a fellowship, we have a common bond, you know, that together we have to do this. You know, none of us can stay clean alone. I used to freak out a lot when I first got clean, because all of my friends would use. NA was smaller, and it seemed like everybody I got to know and be close to would go out and get high. And I would get freaked out about that. And my sponsor would tell me, she would say, well, Narcotics Anonymous will always be here. And that was very comforting to me, to know that NA would always be here. And for me, it was important to know that And then the other thing she taught me, though, was that I had to do service in order for that to continue to happen. That I had to put effort forth in order for Narcotics Anonymous to be here. For me, the unity of NA is being able to hang out with people, to have friends, to be able to to know people, to recover with people, to have bonds with people over long, sustained periods of time. I cry a lot. I've gotten to know people, I mean, being clean for a long time. I've gotten to know people for extended amounts of time. And most of those people are people I've gotten to know through service. Most of the service I do today is through the convention itself. And like this weekend, I had no desire, I made no commitments. People ask me, would you sign up for a shift to work on registration? Would you sign up for a shift to work upstairs in the room? And I said, no, because last year I was up there for 8 hours. And I said, no, I'm not going to do anything. And ended up today I worked doing a lot of different things. Just because that's what happens. And it's fun. I end up having a good time. That's where I find my entertainment. So, that's just what ends up happening for me. I mean, I have a good time going out and dancing. I have a good time going to meetings. But I also have a lot of fun doing service for myself. And I have a lot of friends that way, too. And I find, for me, that most of the people that I know that have been clean for sustained periods of time do service. Everybody that I know that has a service position has been clean for a long period of time. People that I know that don't do service don't stay clean. I don't know. That's just something I know. I know that for me, if I have a place to be or a place to show up to, then I stay clean. Just being involved in a home group, you know, is very important. You know, when I looked up in this book about unity, it was all in the first tradition. And I'm looking up in this How It Works in Hawaii book. But it talked a lot about just being involved. And for me, my home group is like one of my favorite things. I believe in having big parties in my home group. Every time somebody has an anniversary, we have an eating meeting. And it's big fun. We have, I don't believe in having business meetings. You know, we have home group meetings, you know, and I think it's about celebrating all the time, you know, in Narcotics Anonymous. I think it's about having a good time and having fun. Because I don't think that recovery should be about drudgery. I don't think that recovery should be about being disagreeable all the time. You know, I've been through that enough. You know, I've had to deal with enough disagreements, you know, in the time that in my life, you know, and in the pains that I've had to go through with other things. You know, there's too many things that we have to deal with in everyday things. Why do I want to deal with that in NA business? You know, it's, you know, bills and responsibilities sometimes in my day-to-day life is too much of a pain. I want to have fun when I come to meetings and have a good time. For me, it's a way to get out. And I know that sounds crazy. I know this. When I wasn't really sure what to share about when I came, and I called my sponsor and I was like, well, you know, I don't know what to talk about, you know, because I wasn't like, I wasn't really all here. And she says, well, Sarah, just pray. And, you know, so that's what I thought I'd do. and I guess just, I don't know, I'm sorry, I'm not really with it. But in here it says that NA unity begins with the recognition of the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. And it says that we help each other in different ways. Sometimes we help each other one-on-one as in sponsorship, or we may help each other by participating in the formation of new meetings or to make accessible NA accessible to more addicts. And it says we strengthen our unity by participating in each other's recovery. And sometimes I used to in the past really discount how important the fact that my service and sponsorship was. I didn't really consider sponsorship service. I don't know why I separated those two things. I just thought sponsorship was something I was supposed to do and that service was something I had to do. But today I realized that that sponsorship is also, it's a lot more than that, and that it is also a large part of the service that I do. And it is a great gift of unity as well. And it also strengthens the bonds that I have and really brings a lot of the unity I have. And it's, for me, it's kind of weird when I sponsor people, because when I first, when women approach me and ask me to sponsor them, I always tell them straight up front, and I hope it doesn't turn them off, but I tell them right up front. I've said, well, you know, first we need to talk about expectations, and then second, it's all about working the steps, and if we become friends as a result, it's a bonus. You know, it's a bonus. And, but for me, that's the way it works, you know. And then I also believe, as a sponsor, that traditions are what I have to teach. And guiding people through the steps and the traditions is part of what I do when I sponsor people, because I feel that that's just my job. A lot of times when I think about this, I think about when I got clean. There was a big motto. It was up, well, it's Free State Region, West Side, used to be called, it was Together We Can. And to me, that just was a lot of a unity, that we could always do it together. And then that's how things are, you know, that we can't do it alone. And that the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that tear us apart. One of the things that I always have to remember, and it says here too, is that our purpose to carry the message to the addict who still suffers allows room for everyone to serve. When we unite in our support of this purpose, our differences need no longer detract from our common welfare. Working together for our mutual well-being is a significant source of unity in Narcotics Anonymous. Unity doesn't just happen. The unity underlining our common welfare requires personal commitment and responsible action. I know I read a lot from the text, and I've always done that. Part of it is because it helps me, and the other part of it is because I believe that everything I know comes from those before me, and also everything I know is not new material and comes from the literature. That's where I get all my information. All my information comes from the literature. I don't believe that there's anything that I came up with in my head that just said, okay, Sarah, you know this. It doesn't work that way. If it worked that way, I could have gotten clean on my own, you know. When I came here, I was desperate. I was lonely. I had nowhere else to go. I didn't choose to come here. It was an accident. Like I said, I was 17 years old, and I didn't even know what Narcotics Anonymous was. I didn't know what any Anonymous was. I actually was going to school one day and ended up in the hospital the next day. And I came here because somebody told me if I didn't, I would end up in a vegetable the rest of my life. And I just got really fortunate and ended up here. So the fact that I'm clean today, I believe, is a miracle. And the fact that I've been able to stay clean, I think, is a miracle, too. I've been through a lot in recovery. I've had more happen to me, I think, in recovery. And to be able to stay clean through it, than I could imagine. I've gone through my mother dying and my children being born and being married, and I've just had a lot happen, and a lot of good things. I've had bad things. I've found out I've had medical things happen to me. It's just life happens in recovery. And I think for me, the fact that I do service and that I've made bonds with people through that has helped. I think it's wonderful to be able to just have friendships in the fellowship. But for me, I think the fact that I've made closer friendships. Because when I've done service work with people, it's kind of like Survivor. You know, you really hang out with these people and you really have no choice. You know, you're kind of stuck with them for a long period of time and you have nowhere else to go. And that's just kind of how it is, like it or not. You know, I've been in situations with people where tables have been flipped, people have, you know, thought they were going to punch people. And it's been pretty freaky in service, you know, screaming and yelling and matter of fact, a lot of stuff. And I've got to tell you, I've screamed and yelled a lot, too. And I've been in situations where, matter of fact, not too long ago, I was in a meeting and I screamed and yelled at a whole group of people in a meeting. I was in a meeting and we got all kinds of righteous. And I had to apologize a week later. Because I decided I was going to take a whole meeting's inventory, and I had to realize that I can only share my experience, strength, and hope, and that's all that I have. And I didn't realize at the time that, you know, I just wasn't thinking, you know. And thank goodness we have steps, and you know, and traditions, and that we have other people to talk to. Who can, you know, help us take our inventories and guide us. And I had somebody who was able to help me, and she helped me realize that, you know, Sarah, the right thing for you to do would be to go back and apologize. And it was really hard to go in front of a huge meeting and say, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I really shouldn't have done this. You know, that I shouldn't have spoken out of turn. And, you know, taking y'all's inventory. And I won't do it again. It was a big deal. I've never done that before. And then I do a lot of other things, too. I try to take control. And you know, and the big deal is that, you know, one of the big things is doing service and is I realize and I find all my defects of character. You know, I have to realize, and it teaches me how to work the steps all the time. You know, the first step, the second step, you know, admitting that I'm powerless and that my life is unmanageable, having to surrender on a regular basis, you know, realizing I'm not always right. Okay, I can stop now. But I'll just do the step right real quick. Let's just do these steps real quick. We'll do that. But it's just one, but just realizing that I'm not always right is really important. But I'll be done. Thanks.
Our family, Nathan, still recovering at it. Next, I'd like to have Jay come up and share on unity through service.
All right, that's one time.
Yeah. Family, I'm Jay and I'm an addict. And I don't have my book with me. This was not planned, unexpected. You know, I came down with the intention of just chilling out. You know, you know what I'm saying? I just wanted to kick it with some people, get some food, relax, have a vacation, mini vacation, so to speak. And But, you know, my higher power, man, just never lets me off that easy. Unity through service, you know. It's funny. The guy who asked me to come in here, kidnapped me out there, is the same guy that voted me in as, or nominated me for vice chair in our area. And I guess that's what the unity is, and this is in what we're speaking of today. He's one of those guys who watched me when I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and he was one of those guys who through all my ranting and raving, through all my insanity, through the last 10 years, who has always been there. He was one of those guys who always encouraged me. Always gave me a hug. He was just there. And I'm still one of those people, man, who still believes there was someone with more clean time than you asked you to serve. You give it. You know, you don't question it. You just do it. You know, that's kind of like how it's been for the last 10 years for me. Service is something that started from day one for me. And it's always unknowingly. You know, you go to a meeting, you're standing around, and a group of guys all of a sudden, Jay's a coffee maker. And you know, you be standing there like, what the hell is going on here, right? And they, you know, just like, don't worry about it. Show up here next week. We got you back. And that's what they did, you know, because I was incapable of doing anything when I got here. My only thought process was some more crack or some heroin or something. Give me something. You know, making coffee was one of those things that I just was incapable of doing, you know. But they showed me. They gave me a coffee pot. They explained to me, this is the coffee pot. You put the coffee pot in, coffee in the filter. You fill it up with water. Don't fill it up too high now. And you turn it on. You know, keep the table clean, keep the sugar filled, and don't leave that station until the meeting's over. And they did that for a few weeks until I was able to do it on my own. And after a while, I fell in love with that. You know, I honestly did. You know, I fell in love with that service position and didn't want to give it up. Stayed in it longer than I was supposed to. You know, got angry when they voted me out. But I found out why they voted me out. They had another service position waiting for me. As soon as they voted me out of that, they voted me in a secretary, you know. And I was like, well, what the hell is that? You know, and they, don't worry about it. Show up next week. We got you back. And the same thing happened. And the next thing I know, you know, I had gone up through the meeting service positions from coffee maker to secretary to treasurer. Treasurer took a little time. Treasurer took a little time, you know. you know, as a matter of fact, they allowed me to stay in secretary position for 2 years, I believe. And then they let me do treasurer work. And even then, they watched me real close, you know. And in complete honesty, I stole the money anyway. Yeah, I did it. I did it. You know, I went home one day and bought me a pack of cigarettes. And but the thing is, you know, and this is the addict's way of thinking, right? You know, the thing is, you know, I bought some cigarettes. I got home. I put the money back in the envelope. You know, I just made the mistake of telling my sponsor about it, and he stole the money. And, you know, I'm like, how to steal it? I put it back. You know, when I stole something, I had no intentions of ever giving it back. No, did you ask anybody for the money, Jay? Well, then you stole it. I'm like, okay, cool. I stole it. So, and then he made me do one of the most humbling things in my life, man. Made me go tell the entire group. And I'm like, well, why I got to tell everybody? You know, I told you that's enough. No, you have to tell the group. You stole from the group. And they talk about the unity, man. The group just said, man, it's cool. And I found out quite a few other addicts had done the same thing. And they gave me another opportunity. They said, just don't do it again. You know, and they stuck with me through that. And I went on up to chairperson. It's been like that for an entire 10-year process for me. You know, I'm now up on vice chair, and the same thing has happened. You know, the same group of guys, you know. And what I found out through this service work, the beauty of all this was that I was developing some friendships unknowingly through the years, they have been every word but the child of God. You know, they have been pain in the butts. And I'm just being nice right now for the sake of, you know, I don't want to, because I can go there. But it's like that's the process. You know, the next thing I know, I had a year clean. I had 2 years clean. And just like, you know, those who came before me said, man, you know, you don't really wake up until you get 5 years clean. And then I knew what was going on. You know, and it's like, look, y'all gonna stop doing this to me, right? And they said, no, you ain't. You don't ask questions now. And but in that process, man, I got real close with some people. You know, I developed friendships, and this was real baffling at the time because I'll say it like this: one of those group of guys decided he wanted to go back out, and for weeks it just bothered me. And it all came out in other different ways. You know, you'd be riding on the bus and you just curse people out, or you're driving in your car and you're going 90 miles an hour for no reason at all, and things like that. And like this term unity one more time kicked in, because they saw what I couldn't see, you know, and it's like, look, man, what's going on? You know, and that's the power of having a home group, you know, more friendships, more relationships begin to develop unknowingly just through serving in a particular group. Because all these people, they start seeing you. You start sharing with them. You start giving of yourself. And that's what I call the definition of service. Giving of yourself to someone or something else, even when you don't want to. You know, and all this was happening, and I wasn't even aware of this happening. And what I found out later on is that's God's process through the program of Narcotics Anonymous, using service to help me stay clean and build a life worth living. The topic of our convention is Lost Dreams Awaken, you know. And these are all things that I fantasize about on the street, you know, because you don't trust anybody on the street. Y'all know where we come from. Everybody's a beat bag. You know, you can't trust nobody. You definitely don't believe nobody. You know, even your tightest partner, you got your right eye on him. You know, and you don't trust him either. For real, he's just there for that moment. You know, but all that changed through service work. You know, and I didn't even know anything about all this, man. And then finally, it started coming to me. You know, and I fell into some step work, and two started equaling four instead of five today. You know, and my mind started waking up, man, and I found out, man, that I really, a word that I'm still kind of uncomfortable with, but I really love these guys. You know, it's the guy that asked me to do this meeting here, Major A. You know, like he told me from day one, man, if you do what we do, you'll stay clean. And this is a promise. He said, I guarantee you, if you do what we do, you'll stay clean. And everybody he knows is in service in some form or another. My sponsor, John M., 17 years, is still in service today. He takes one of the most humbling his service positions back on Coffee Maker. And he always tells me, man, you know, everybody I sponsor does something for Narcotics Anonymous. In that process, man, the emotional thing changed within me. It wasn't a duty. It wasn't a responsibility no more. I did it because I love to do it. I do vice chair, and I'll accept any position today because I really feel like I owe Narcotics Anonymous my fucking life. Because I was dead when I walked up in here. I just didn't lay down. You know, I had no desire to live. Family didn't want to be bothered with me. You know the whole story. Helpless and hopeless. And through the service work, man, I was able to build a family within Narcotics Anonymous. And the beauty of it is, man, my daughter started coming back into my life. And who was there? The fellas. This is what you do with a little girl, Jay. Because I didn't know. You know, my mother came back into my life. I started being a productive son to her now. You know, I still struggle with that today. You know, she still got some control issues. But I do what I've been doing for the last 10 years, man. I go to the fellas and look, this is what's happening. Because of this unity, you know. And now, man, I try to keep my sponsees doing the same thing. You know, they say that unity, man, in its simplest form, to me, is a group of people coming together with one common cause. And through that common cause, man, that we call recovery. What I found out through unity, man, also is the fact that I ain't no different than any other human being on the face of this planet. My skin might be different. I might walk a different way and talk a different way. But deep down inside, I'm a basic human being just like everyone else. Through service, I found out, man, that I suffer from the same defects as any other addict: ego, image, anger, resentment, pain, just like any other addict. I was able to challenge my own personal racism in recovery through unity, through service. And I understand that's a topic we don't like to get on, but it was a reality for me because I grew up hating everybody. And this is the beauty of servicing, man, because you meet so many damn different people from all walks of life. And all of them had a part to play in me standing here today. All of them had a part to play in developing another human being called JS so that he can come in here and maybe help someone else that's still out there using right now. My sponsor always reminds me, man, when I want to tell him no, he said, man, that's a dope fiend on the corner waiting for your message. You tell me no today, he might be telling you a message of mine. Now, it's up to you what you want to believe. But my story tells me, man, that I need to stay here and keep doing what I'm doing. You know, they tell me today, man, you know, the lady walked by today, one of our service workers at the area, and she says, oh, here's our chairperson for next year. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Let me finish vice chair, right? But that just tells me right there is God got a plan right there. You know, through service, man, I've met a lot of different people, man. A lot of different people. A lot of times a day, man, I don't like it. Because the thing about knowing a lot of people in recovery, man, is that when you're outside, you know, people walk up on you, man. And they'll find you in a different mode sometimes. It's like, hey, Jay, what's up with the program? You know, but it's helped me stay out of a lot of locations I ain't got no business going into, you know, just because of that. And I did all that through service. Because it's natural for me to want to shut down and hide and sit way in the back and do nothing. I don't want to be a part of nothing. Because that's the bottom, man. That's how far down the disease had taken me. I was so isolated and so alone that that's all I wanted to be, was just be by myself. You know, and through service, man, giving of yourself, setting up here in a meeting, sharing, doing something for Narcotics Anonymous, doing something for another recovering addict, just giving of yourself, it brings you out of that shell that you created for yourself, as it did me. I'm able to sit back and watch my sponsees go through the same process that I went through. Me and my sponsor, man, we battle all the time, but I love this guy. Love this guy. And we from two totally different walks of life, man. He's an Irishman from Ireland. The half time, I don't even understand what he's saying, but I love it. You know, and he came to me, man, and I remember when I first got Narcotics Anonymous, man, one of the things I really had a problem with was people hugging me. I could not, I could not take that. Coming from where I'm coming from, the jails, the institutions, man, all the fights, all the slights, all the pains, the father that I grew up with, man, you know, touching is not something you did unless you was physically having some kind of a sexual act. You know, outside of that, you don't do too much touching. And this guy, man, he used to walk up to me at a meeting and just grab me. And it scared the hell out of me. It scared the hell out of me. You know, the first reaction is you want to go to blows. You want to fight. You know, something's wrong with this man. How dare you put your hands on me in a loving and caring way? And through that process, man, it showed me just how frightened and scared I was. And he never backed off. And I never found enough courage to stand up to him and hit him. Because something in my heart, man, told me this man really cares. I don't know why. I don't know why a worthless human being like me, he did nothing but break the law from day one, in and out of every institution you can name in Montgomery County. But he took enough time and energy, man, and I found out later on, man, through service and unity, loving one another, that he had been down the same walk of life I had. He had done just as much time, if not more, that I had. He had done so many other things that I had done. He may have did them a little differently, but he did them. And the outcome was same. And we found out, man, that together we have the same problem. We addicts. Learning to live one day at a time. I don't know, man. Things are good. You know, ain't too much more I can really share on that. Like I say, I'm coming from the hip right now, man. You know, I too like to sit back and read. My book is all marked up. I'm on my second text now because the other one's all marked up. You know, I'm just coming from the hip, man. You know, there's some things that are on my mind. This past year has just been rough, man. And I'm really grateful for Narcotics Anonymous because I almost went out of it, man. I almost lost it. You know, I had a 14-year-old that turned up pregnant. 2 months before that, my mother had a heart attack. You know, I think when all that got finished, man, I just found out I lost a major contracting business. So the business is shut down, you know. And y'all won't let me give up. Y'all won't let me give up. You know, you call me, you come over, and you say, hey, Jay, we got area service today. Just because all that's going on, you can't cancel this over here. You know, and the thing about it, man, I can't even get mad. You know, I look at them sometimes, just bust out laughing. And that's carrying me through the pain of life, man. You done gone to area service, man, and you done did what you could do there. And, yeah, you right, there's some crazy stuff to go on up there. Oh, man, they be having some attitudes up in that junk. But, you know, all that goes on out there, I see me. I suffer from all them attitudes, man. The major thing is only because of my self-centered nature, I ain't getting what I want. That's the bottom line in all of that. Somebody didn't get what they wanted that day or the way they wanted it, so they went off. And a lot of times you just have to sit back and laugh, man, and say, there go I. But for the grace, there go I. So something else has taught you something about yourself through service and unity. But the beauty of it is, at the end of that meeting, we all come to a decision. We all get up and hug each other. And we all come out of there okay. Next month, the same people are right back there again. Right back there again. Now, there's something in that, man. There's something in that. Unity. You know, I think about the first tradition. Our common welfare must come first. My recovery depends on NA unity. And sitting there and watching that for the last 10 years has helped me stay clean one day at a time. You know, I don't know. What more can I say on this? You know, so I'm going to cut it short, man. And maybe somebody out there has some more to say. You know, let me drop this out here real quick, man. I'm down here with my lady, right, and everything's going good, everything's going well, you know. And we went to the meeting over here, and all of a sudden the attitude changed, you know. Ain't talking no more, ain't laughing no more, and I'm like, what the hell I done, you know. So, you know, really I want to run back out there and try to figure out what's going on, you know. But I've been through here long enough to know that, man, I need to back up and just let her go through it right now, you know. But I'm scared. Now, I don't even know why I'm scared. I really don't, you know. And that's just the disease kicking up one more time. Kicking up one more damn time, you know. I did see her leave before the females, you know, so God's still working, you know. God's still working. And it's funny that I say that, man. I'll say this, man, for the addict out there that hasn't found a God that he can work with yet. Because I came into Narcotics Anonymous, a stone cold atheist. I was the one who sat in a meeting for 3 or 4 years. And every time that three-letter word was mentioned, God, I went into a rage, cursing and screaming. And it's through these people, man, continually sharing about their higher power, their God, that somewhere in the process, man, I found one that works for me. But I need to say that also, man, if you don't have one right now, it's okay. Just keep coming back. If you haven't found a sponsor yet, I encourage you to get with one human being that you can share with, as I did. And things will open up from there. How about this? They told me the men should stick with the men and the women should stick with the women. Yeah, well, I ain't followed that in my first couple of years. So, you know, I don't have a right to tell nobody that. But that's suggested. You know, it is suggested. And there's a reason they say stay out of relationships, too. It's for the first year. It is suggested. Ain't nothing written, you know, but it is suggested. It works. But it's real important, man, because for real, man, it's through unity coupled with service that I was able to see a power greater than me working. And my first sponsor, man, that I had, the reason I chose him as a sponsor was because he shared his experience, strength, and hope, and was the exact same place as I copped at. It was the exact same way I copped. The exact same way I used, and we spent time in the same institutions. And they talk about the experience, strength, and hope. And I told myself, man, if that guy can stay clean, and he did it the exact same way as I did it out there on them corners, there's got to be something in here. I don't have all the answers for anybody in here, you know, and I hope you got something out of what I shared. Enjoy the rest of the night. Thank you for letting me share.
Family, I'm Nathan. We're coming at it. Let's see. I'd like to thank those who shared. Before I open the meeting up, I'm going to open the meeting up. You just have to come up to the podium. Would anybody like to share?
Hi, I'm Paige. I'm an addict. Hey, Paige. Hi, everybody. Service work is how, that's how I got clean. I didn't work when I first came into the program, and I made NA my job. I had like two or three coffee positions. I did anything anybody asked me to do. And when I started, well, I guess, I don't know if it's called chairing or secretaring, but when I first started doing that and I had to go get speakers, it made me go to a lot of meetings, and I had to talk to people I didn't know. I'd listen, and if they shared like they knew what they were, you know, they had a program or had something going on, I'd go and I'd get their phone number, and then I had to call them. See, for me, networking is very hard. Even though I'm not a real shy person, it's very hard for me to call you unless there's a reason. And that gave me a reason to call you and call you again to remind you. And a lot of friendships started that way. And then I got a job on the newsletter, a position on the newsletter. And for about 3 years, I went around bothering everybody to write and getting people to help us edit and it was the same thing. I had to call people. It like really kept me, it kept me in the middle of things. And then I guess when I had around 5 years, I got a job. You know, I found my like niche, and I put all my energy out there, and I didn't have time to do all this stuff anymore. But I continued to go to meetings, but I made the job my priority, so I didn't, I found service positions that fit in with my schedule. And as the years have gone by, I kind of did the same thing with my step work. I'm telling on myself. You know, I kind of like let that slide. And I, instead of making my life around the program, I started making the program around my life. And what's been happening is I'm coming up on 12 years. I've just got a new sponsor. And the reason I got a new sponsor is because even though I'm clean, I'm clean, but all the gray areas are creeping back in. So I wanted to start going through the steps again. And we were at a restaurant the other night. It was one of those all-you-could-eat buffets. It's like it's something like $30 after all said and done. And at the end, you know, I start packing up some cookies and stuff to go, right? And then everybody else does it, right? So I got all these people swiping cookies, you know, and then we're looking over our shoulders, you know, for the doggy bag police, because you're not supposed to take stuff from these buffets, you know? And we're all laughing about it and stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, what kind of example am I setting? Because, you know, then like, say I stay at a hotel, it's $80 or something. Oh, that's too much to spend for one night, so let's steal all the towels, you know? Then what's next? You know, you go buy a stereo or a TV or something for $400, and this isn't really worth $400. Let's get a free radio with it. No. Okay. Anyway, I mean, the gray areas, when I start here, they can, you know, get bigger and bigger and bigger. Anyway, I wanted to tell on myself, so thanks for letting me share.
Family Nathan, we're coming at it. Anybody else? Okay, I guess that leaves me for 5 minutes. Unity and service. I guess I could talk about this. Man, I'm going to tell you, I remember when I came into the rooms, I was hurting. I was in some pain. I was beat up from the floor up. I really, really had desire to stay clean. And I didn't know how. Thank God that NA was here. I didn't know how y'all ran this, how y'all kept this going. I didn't know who y'all was paying off or none of that. You know, all I knew was people would say, there's a meeting here, there's a meeting there, you need to be there. Once I saw that, you know, this might work, the word service came to mind. People was telling me about service. Man, I don't know. I didn't know nothing about service. Because when I was out in the streets, if you couldn't help me, I had no use for you. I was very self-centered. And when I came here, you know, it was just something about wanting to get to a point in my life where I could actually, for once in my life, do something for somebody without wanting nothing in return. I heard people talk about that, and I heard that that would give people freedom, a certain type of peace. So I had a sponsor who was like, yo, you're going to start doing some service work. And I used to always talk to that. I was like, you know, I was an intelligent person. He said, good, well, you're going to be a GSR. And I became a GSR in the service area. You know, I didn't do the coffee making or nothing like that. And it fascinated me that a group of people can be in a room and we can argue, disagree, and all that good stuff. But at the end, we can all get into a circle and say the serenity prayer. You know, that fascinated me, you know. And I learned, after I got my first year clean, there was something in me that wanted to give back. Because I heard that you can't keep it unless you give it away. You know? And man, I mean, I am so into service now. And the only reason, one of the reasons why I do it now, my main reason, is because I know if I don't do it, I can't wait for somebody else to do it. See, I got to do it. You know? And I'm hoping other people do it so we can keep this going on. Because I know there's going to be another person coming in behind me that's going to be like, I don't know how the hell this works, how it came about, but I'm glad it's here. You know, and that's just the way I am. I take as many service positions as I can. You know, I love the area level. I'm at the regional level. I just do it all, you know, because I know it makes me feel good. For once in my life, I can actually do something for somebody and don't expect nothing back. That's that peace that I always have wanted in life, you know, and I get that now. And it is just so good, you know. I mean, damn, somebody was there for me, and I didn't give a damn about them. I just wanted them to help me stay clean, you know. And being in here, you know, I got like 29 months. And, man, it's a feeling that you can't explain. You know, it's like love. You can't put the word love on paper, but the feeling is so good. And the feeling of actually giving it back, you know, is you can't beat it, man. You can't. And I just know that, you know, service begins the therapeutic value of one addict helping another, you know, is without parallel, you know, and that's where it starts at, you know, and everybody here got their own different niche of what to do about service. You know, some people are going to do this, some people are going to do that. But I mean, just thank God that, you know, we all come together in unity and keep this thing going, man, because if this ever dies, God, I don't know where to turn, because trust me, I was out there for like 15 years, and I tried to do it by myself, and I couldn't. So with that, thank you. My name is Nathan. I'm a recovering addict, and I like us to get together and close this meeting in the usual manner, serenity prayer.